Hey now, and welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarland. Our guest today is Aaron Castle, who's a senior on the Iowa gymnastics team. Before we introduce her and get this thing started, I just want to talk to you guys about Good Pods. With all of you in the middle of winter who are in Chicago, Iowa, the Midwest, even Florida, who have to tolerate this cold winter weather in the middle of a pandemic, I want to ask you a quick question. Have you heard of Good Pods yet? I just got on it. I wanted to tell you about it. It's an app where you follow friends and influencers to see what podcasts they are listening to. So for all of you who spent too much time searching around trying to find a new show, this will solve all your problems. Picture Instagram or Twitter, but just for podcasts. You can go follow each other and you can download it on the App Store, Google Play Store, and invite all your friends. Don't forget to follow me at Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack at Jack McFarland. You can stay up to date with our podcast, The City Off Campus. And I love to give and get recommendations for other shows too. I would love to see what other shows you like to listen to. And remember, go download Good Pods, and the link and information are on our social platforms and in the description below. So now I'll introduce Aaron Castle again. So my first question for you is, how did you get started in gymnastics?
So I started gymnastics when I was 3 years old. Classic gymnastics reason of I had too much energy. So my parents just put me in gymnastics because they didn't really know what else to do with me. It's kind of how I got started.
Were there any, like growing up, I personally loved watching the Olympics and like watching sports that I had absolutely no clue about. And one of them was obviously gymnastics. And in like 2008, I think it was Shawn Johnson, Nastia Lukin. Were those some Olympians that were people that you looked up to during your like beginning years of gymnastics?
Yeah, Shawn Johnson, definitely. She was from Des Moines too. So it was cool that someone so close to home ended up going to the Olympics. So yeah, she was a huge role model for me growing up.
We talked about how you grew up around Des Moines near Iowa State. So, and you've told me in the past that Iowa State was a place where you wanted to go originally. Yeah. So tell us about that recruitment journey and eventually choosing Iowa.
Yes. So I actually, until I was a freshman in high school, went to Iowa State's club gym. And then it was kind of at the point where I was like, okay, I either stop doing gymnastics or I need to switch gyms. And so I ended up switching to a club in Ankeny, Iowa, which is about 45 minutes from my home. And so I would leave school at noon every day, high school every day, to go to practice. So I wanted to go to Iowa State for the longest time just because I grew up in the Ames area. My whole family's Iowa State fans. All my aunts, uncles, cousins went to Iowa State. And I had watched them, like they were my role models growing up as well. But then as I started the recruiting process, I went on like a visit at Iowa State, and then I visited Iowa, and I like honestly liked Iowa better. And I just liked the team. I liked the coaches. It felt like I was going to be like taken care of as a person. So that's kind of why I chose Iowa. It's hard for my parents to adjust to at first, but I've converted them to Hawkeye fans, at least as gymnastics. So, yeah.
So you were familiar growing up watching Iowa State football games and.
Oh yeah.
So I lived in Ames growing up as well. And I became all too used to like watching Iowa State and rooting for them. And then they just get absolutely pummeled. And now we look when we're 20, 21 years old, and now Iowa State's actually half decent.
I know.
I think a lot of people won't understand what it was like to like fully get introduced to sports and be a fan of a team that's just not good.
Yeah, I know. And I was in like the little Cyclone Club when I was on the hills of Jack Trice Stadium. Like I stormed Jack Trice before I stormed Kinnick. So I was like a huge Iowa State fan growing up.
What game was that for? Was it for the Oklahoma State game?
Yep.
All right. That's a pretty yeah, good that game was a to storm game. For.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, it was interesting, but I'm so happy with my decision to come to Iowa. So.
Yeah, Jack still sometimes struggles a little bit with his Iowa allegiance. Sometimes I notice he's still a little bit of an Iowa State fan at heart.
Fam, it says Iowa City on my sweatshirt. I don't know like how else I can represent Iowa. Like I'm loving it, baby. I swear.
Okay. So while you're getting recruited and while you're in high school, you talked to me about your work ethic and how you would train, you know, up until noon every day, or you'd go to school up until noon every day, and then you train the rest of the day. How did that early work ethic impact you, your training and commitment to gymnastics going into college?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I've always had a very strong work ethic. I don't know if it's something that's like kind of I was born with or something that like I've had to develop because I can't be successful if I don't work hard type of thing. But I think that like growing up as a gymnast, like you're taught so many things that help you like later in life, and hard work is one of them. And it's kind of just like not really something I've ever thought about. It's just something that I know is necessary to reach my goals. So yeah.
What was your like schooling experience like with all of this training, and like how did it affect you growing up and like the free time that you wished you might have had at times?
Yeah, it was definitely, you can look at it as a sacrifice. Like I did sacrifice a lot of my high school social life. I didn't really go to football games until like my senior year. And I just like all my friends were at the gym. Or you can look at it as like an opportunity. Like I was training at a really good gym to try to become a college athlete. So it was kind of just like how you look at it. I never really thought of it as something like, oh, I'm giving up another football game to go practice. It was like, I need to go practice so I can reach my goals type of thing. And because I like practicing. So that's kind of how I looked at it when I was growing up.
So you never really had like a sense of FOMO, like fear of missing out at all?
No, which is kind of surprising because I feel like I'm so much more of a social person now. And like, I have so many, I'm just like a very bubbly person now, but in high school I wasn't as much like that. So I don't know if I would have felt that back then if I was how I am now, but it wasn't really like a FOMO thing.
Going into your freshman year, what were your goals going into your college career? And over time, how have those changed?
Yeah, so I was super, super excited and like ready to go when I came in freshman year. All I wanted to do was compete. And it actually, my freshman year, I ended up breaking my back shortly before season. So that kind of, I mean, I healed pretty quickly, but to like go through freshman year and all of the adjustments and like learning how to like compete at the collegiate level, that type of thing, I didn't end up competing my freshman year. So like it was kind of really hard for me at the end of my freshman year to look back and like see that I didn't accomplish my goals that I wanted to. But now, I guess after freshman year, I had a conversation with my coach, and she basically was like, stopped like putting so much pressure on competing, and like, let's reset. It's a new year. We'll get you where you want to be. And I feel like since then, I've grown more, not only as an athlete, like I've gotten to compete and I've reached that goal, but I've grown more as a person. And now my goals have kind of shifted to like, as a senior going into my senior year, how am I impacting my teammates and how am I helping them through their college career with some of the struggles that I went through as well. So it's not just solely gymnastics goals anymore, because I'm coming to the end of my gymnastics career and then it's done. And then I have life after this. So, yeah.
And you're describing very clearly that you take a big, I'd say, priority in being a leader for your teammates and whatnot. What type of leader would you say like you yourself are? Like, are you a lead by example, or do you try to be more verbal than that?
I wouldn't say I am the loudest, most like I'm gonna call you out type of person in the gym, but I definitely, my goal and what I would consider my like role on the team is to use the experiences that I've gone through and the lessons that I've learned to impact those around me and like the underclassmen. So if they're struggling with something, if they need someone to talk to, that type of thing, that's kind of more my leadership role, I guess. So, yeah.
And you mentioned your broken back your freshman year. How long did it take for you to feel like 100% confident in yourself, your like what your physical ability in that moment to go back and not compete, but just practice and train and put yourself back out there? Like, when did you fully feel able to do that?
I think that, I mean, I healed, like physically, I healed quickly. I guess like mentally having enough confidence in myself and my gymnastics ability, I don't think came until I started competing my sophomore year, because I think I always knew that I had the potential. But it was like, am I ever going to actually successfully compete and, do what others expect of me type of thing and what I expect of myself. So I think it took until like January of my sophomore year when competition started to like, it wasn't until I like actually did my first routine that I was like, okay, I can do this. So yeah.
When you have the successful competitions and when you have competitions not go the way you have hoped they would, how do you mentally decompress and let yourself off the hook as a competitor when things don't go your way?
Yeah, I think that it's kind of, we've always been taught that you kind of have to have a short-term memory. So if you mess up on one event and you have to compete on the next event, like you can't be thinking about the mistake that you just made. And I think that that's kind of just the way you have to approach it and kind of look at the bigger picture at, you've done all of these successful routines in your life. Just because you fall in one doesn't mean you're going to fall again.
Talk about some challenges that you faced during the pandemic, trying to like stay in shape and working out, and then some unique solutions that you might have found through that. And me personally, I don't know like the ins and outs of like what goes into gymnastics training. So like, what did you have to impromptu figure out at home or wherever you were to give yourself like an effective off season in essence?
Yeah, gymnastics is such a unique sport because it's not a sport that you can just do anywhere. Like, it's not track. You can go run around a track, shoot hoops, whatever. You have to have like the equipment. So it was really interesting because I think I speak for my whole team and most gymnasts out there that we've never had more than like maybe a month off in our entire lives since I was 3 years old. So it was, and gymnastics is always kind of like, oh, you don't have an off season, because we end season in April and then start practicing again end of May or June. So it's kind of a year round sport, but during the pandemic when all of the gyms were shut down, it was a lot of just cardio and I did a lot of Chloe Ting and Sydney Cummings workouts on YouTube, a lot of like high intensity interval training just to keep us in shape and our cardio up. And then once you got back in the gym, it was a ton of like strength, because we did lose a lot of strength in the 5-6 months not being in the gym. And then from there, it was just kind of building back up and doing your skills. And they actually came back a lot easier for everybody than we probably ever thought that they would. So, yeah.
How are you enjoying your final season? You know, how, like, has it sunk in at all? It's your final season, or are you trying to ignore the fact it's your final season? So how are you enjoying it? And what are some of the goals you have for yourself and as a team for this upcoming season?
Yeah, I feel like it's somewhat sunk in that this is my final season. I'm very aware of it every day, but at the same time, I don't think it will sink in that I'm done with gymnastics until I'm like done. And then it's like, I don't know. I don't think that part has sunk in yet. But I'm super, super excited for this season. And I think my goal and mindset is kind of just to take it one day at a time and enjoy every day with my teammates and all the trips that we go on and every meet and every time I get to compete, like just enjoy that because it's going to be gone in 4 months. So, and then as a team, our goals are, our team is like, this is the best team I've ever been on talent wise. Like we are really good, like really good. And then we have a lot of potential. So I think that obviously we want to be Big Ten champs. We want to beat Michigan. Like that's our thing. Michigan's like really good. So we really want to beat them. And then in gymnastics scoring wise, usually like an average baseline score for a top 25 team is like a 196, but we were pushing 197 last year and when the season got cut short. So we're really hoping to break 197 as a total team score and hopefully break the top 15, which I think we're very, very capable of all of those. So I'm excited for the potential that this team has this year. It'll be fun.
What is like mid-season, how bad do the calluses get? Like 1 to 10, how bad?
I mean, I think that that's honestly more of a preseason thing.
Okay.
Because when you're coming back from a like however time off, then you kind of get like rips and calluses or whatever. But once you've been training for a while, they're still kind of there, but not bad. I feel like most of us too, like I don't get rips on my hands anymore because I've been doing stuff on them since I was 3 years old. So I more get rips on my wrists actually.
So what was that like after that like 5 or 6 month break, like coming back finally and you guys were going full strength training and get hitting the bars again? Like how was there a really noticeable difference then?
Not really, honestly. And I don't think my calluses ever fully went away during those 5 months. So yeah, I haven't really noticed. Like, yeah, you rip once in a while, but nothing bad.
So another kind of off topic question I have. Have you seen the movie Blades of Glory with?
I haven't.
Okay. So in the movie, no, it's fine. So I'll explain this for you. So in the movie, there's a trick that, their coach alludes to them maybe having to do to win the entire competition. It's called the Iron Lotus. He shows them a video of the Iron Lotus and you like throw someone up in the air and you have to like catch them by their skate. In essence, like there's a chance of you like cutting your partner's head off somehow. And it's a really terrible trick, but if you land it, it's awesome. Are there any like gymnastics tricks where if you like attempt it and it doesn't go the way you think, you could get really hurt? Or is that just every trick?
I feel like that could be every skill. Like, I mean, we're trained so well. And by the time you get to college, you've been doing the skills that you're competing since probably like sophomore year of high school. So there's always a risk, but I wouldn't say the risk is really that high because our skills are pretty competent by the time you get to be in college. So yeah.
I didn't know if there was like maybe an upper echelon, like skill level of skill that you were like, oh, maybe I can hit that by my senior year. Who knows? Like I'm feeling out like what it's like to be in the mind of a gymnast and like your progression.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. I feel like there's a balance because obviously I think that we all could try. There's always more skills. Like the skills that they do in the Olympics are so hard. I would never attempt them, but you could start, you know, trying to learn them. But in college, the focus is more on like how clean your gymnastics is, like, you're trying to minimize the deductions. So you're not, as long as you start from a 10, because that's how we're judged, we start from a 10, and you have to have a certain amount of skills and bonus, they call it bonus, to get to the 10 to start it from there. So you have to have a certain amount of skills, and they all equal up to a 10. So as long as you starting at a 10, then they don't really care how massive the skills are, as long as you can do them with as little deductions as possible. That makes sense.
No, that makes sense. I mean, I am of the ilk of, like, I don't know, like, the ins and outs of this, or, like, what goes into, like, oh, maybe I want to do that one day or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know how realistic some skills are. I'm just asking the questions.
Yeah. No. You're good.
So going off of, like, a question that Jack had right there is, you know, I'll use Jack as an example of, you know, just not an average sports fan, but as a sports fan who isn't very in touch with gymnastics, with events, different things like that. So can you break down how the lineups work and how the competitions work?
Yeah. So we go, if it's a home meet, we start on vault, and we go in Olympic order, which is vault, bars, uneven bars, the balance beam, and the floor exercise. And we'll have 6 routines that go up in the lineup, and then the top 5 scores count towards the team score. And so basically in deciding those lineups, the coaches just look for consistency, as little deductions as possible, that type of thing. And yeah, that's kind of how a meet works, I guess.
And then going off of that, so what goes through your mind when you're doing an event like beam or something, like when you're in the middle of the event, are you trying to concentrate on a specific technique, or is nothing going through your head? Like, you know, does the crowd noise, do you even hear it? Like, can you take us through that?
Yeah. So that's actually funny that you asked that, because we all have, we call them cues. And it's basically just like what we say in our head every single routine, whether it be in competition or practice. And so before every meet, our team sits in a circle and we'll run the lineups. Well, we sit in a circle on the floor and we'll run the lineups, and the person that's up will go into the middle of the circle and like walk through their routine and say their cues out loud. So not only like do we know what we're saying each time, but like our teammates know what we're saying each time to ourselves, so that if there's something that like we're struggling with in warm up, then we can be like, oh, remember, like you do this, that type of thing. So it's basically just like me walking through like my cues every time. Sometimes I'll hear the music, but usually I'm like, wait, why am I listening to the music? And then I'll like go back. But yeah.
What has been your greatest personal accomplishment so far in your college or overall gymnastics career? And what's been your biggest accomplishment as a team so far with your time as a Hawkeye gymnast?
Yeah. Personal accomplishment gymnastics wise, I would say would be finally competing all around last year. Like I said, I didn't compete anything freshman year, sophomore year. I did floor every meet and then vault a few times. And then last year I started only doing floor, and then I did bars, and then I got beam. And then finally by the end of the season, I got in vault too for one meet. So I ended up doing all around for one meet. So that was probably my biggest gymnastics accomplishment. But other than that, I feel like the accomplishment that probably means more to me is just like the mental, obstacles that I've overcome, and like working through those and coming out like better on the other side has probably been my biggest accomplishment in college. And then what was the other question? Sorry.
Greatest accomplishment as a team so far.
As a team. I think my favorite accomplishment was upsetting Iowa State last year at Hilton, because we were not really supposed to win that, and we ended up winning it. So,
but is it an upset if you yourself expect to win?
I said we didn't expect to win it.
I thought you just said the general public didn't expect you to win.
But
I'm saying I just turned that around and said that, was it an upset if you guys thought that you were gonna win?
I mean, I don't think we were really focusing on winning. We were just trying to, because that's another thing. Like, we don't focus on winning at all. We just try to, like, get our best score every time. But, I mean, they were, Iowa State's, like, a very talented team. So, yeah, I don't know.
So, one thing that Jack and I, when we've interviewed other student-athletes from Iowa, I think maybe we've done it with one, but we really haven't talked about this much, the balance of academics and athletics and living that student-athlete lifestyle. How do you go about balancing that when you have practice and when you have competitions and you're traveling? How do you balance all of that?
Yeah, it was definitely hard for me my freshman and kind of sophomore year to figure it out. I think everyone goes through a learning curve of figuring out what they need to do to balance being an athlete and a student. But I guess for me, it's like learning to say no to things, my friends, hanging out with them, because I'm a very social person and I like place my relationships with others very high on my like priority list. So I need to sometimes like take a step back and be like, okay, you need to shut yourself in your room now and get some homework done. But yeah, we have so many resources available to help us, tutors, advisors, that type of thing. So just utilizing those as well.
Are there any, because like I've said so many times during this interview, like I'm on the outside looking in, are there any misconceptions people have about gymnasts that just aren't true? Or is it just pretty straightforward? Like people, you know what I'm saying? Like, is there anything that people just think like that isn't true? Like sometimes in high school, there's that weird thought that every football player's got a box of rocks for a brain, you know? Like,
yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I'm just
Know if that's untrue though, Jack.
It wasn't. I was in the National Honor Society, so.
I think that everyone thinks we're really short. And I mean, I'm 5'4", almost 5'5", and we have like some 5'8" people on our team. What else? I don't know.
I was just thinking, I guess like 5'8", what is like short in your eyes though? Like, what would you say short is?
Like, I would say average like gymnast is probably between 5'1" and like 5'3".
Okay. How tall is like Simone Biles then?
Probably like 4'10".
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Like Shawn Johnson is 4'11".
Dang. I didn't know it was that short. Me, oh my.
Huh. Yeah. So I can't think of anything else. That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, I was just curious just to put you on the spot and see. you've talked about how and why you face and overcome obstacles and within your career and your journey. But when was the one time, or if there's a couple, where you felt the most motivated and inspired to continue doing this and to see it all the way through?
I would say after like halfway through my sophomore year and after my sophomore year, after I'd finally competed, I was a lot more encouraged to like finish my career, I guess, and keep getting better. And then I guess now going into my senior year, I just want to end on a good note. So I feel like I'm pretty motivated in that aspect as well.
What are your favorite things about the home competitions?
I love competing in Carver. I guess our fans, like, I just like having our fans there because you can like feel their support. And then all the little kids come down after and we do the cha-cha slide with them. That's really fun. And then we get to talk to them after. So I think just like building relationships with the little kids and their families, I think that's a lot of fun. And then just, it's always nice to have a home meet and be be in your own arena in Carver. So, yeah.
What's something that COVID has drastically changed about Iowa City that you can't wait to come back?
It's been interesting because with COVID, our circle is so small because we get tested. Now we're getting tested 3 times a week. So it's just really weird that Iowa City is kind of just, I haven't been able to experience it this year. So I can't wait to come back next year for like football game and have my senior year in one weekend or something like that. And just like for it to return to normal, cause it's so like quiet and like without having football in the fall, it's weird. It's really weird.
Just being an Iowa student, what is your favorite memory or experience as a student at the University of Iowa?
Probably storming the field. I think I've done it three times, I think, because I did it on my official visit against Michigan. And then what was the next one?
Minnesota.
Ohio State and Minnesota.
Yeah.
So that's just so fun. Like, I don't know. That's probably one of my favorite memories.
So kind of going back to like what COVID is, I guess you could say, directly affected. Where normal times, no COVID, like where is your favorite place to go and just decompress and get something to eat?
My favorite restaurant in Iowa City is Dandelion.
So I've walked past it inside and it looks amazing. I've said it since my freshman year. I want to go in there and eat something. Like, what is so good about it?
It's just like, I'm like a huge breakfast person.
Okay.
But it's just like so good. Anything I've had on the menu is like, it tastes so good. But I would say if I'm putting like a recommendation, I usually get the Cali omelet without the chicken, cause they kind of put like, sorry, Dandy, they put like kind of a little bit too much chicken in there. And then instead of toast, a pancake, but I've also had their avocado toast, and like, it's just like good food and it's like a good aesthetic. I don't know. I recommend Dandelion to anyone. Good coffee.
So you say you're a big breakfast person. You obviously gave your order there, but if you were at home and you had to make breakfast, what is your go-to breakfast and how do you make your coffee?
Oh, okay. I usually have two scrambled eggs with a frozen waffle for breakfast. And then coffee-wise, I don't drink sweet coffee that much. But I usually just either, I just got a cold brew maker, or I get like the stock cold brew. And then just put like whatever seasonal flavoring. I usually do like pumpkin is my all time favorite. And I usually put that, and that's like it. I'm not like a huge, like sweet latte coffee person. Like I'll drink it, but.
Okay. So one of my final two questions for you is, what has being an Iowa Hawkeye meant to you, personally, career-wise, et cetera?
Being a Hawkeye, to put it short, has definitely made me the person that I am today in every aspect of my life. It's challenged me. And it's allowed me to see what I'm capable of. And it's given me a family and a support system that friends that are going to be with me my entire life. And then it's set me up for after college and opportunities that I have for after I leave. So I can't thank the University of Iowa enough, because I would not be who I am today without them. So
what are those post-graduation opportunities?
Yeah, so I got accepted into Belmont University in Nashville. So I'll be moving to Nashville in the fall to start their Master's of Sports Administration program. So eventually I want to work with college athletes someday and hopefully be a career development or academic advisor for them so I can help them through their college career and figure out what they want to do after their college athletic experience. So
that's awesome. So my final question is, as a senior who's seen it all, done it all, what is some advice you'd give to future Hawkeyes?
I think my biggest advice would be to allow yourself to grow and like use the don't be afraid to make mistakes and then use those mistakes to make yourself a better person and then the people around you better people. Because I think that that's kind of just what I've gotten from my experience here. And yeah, I don't know.
Good words of advice. And before we close out, I just want to say, guys, check out the gymnastics team this season. Follow them. Follow Aaron, follow the rest of her team. And yeah, we wish you a great season. Jack, you want to close it out?
Of course. And I just want to give a quick shout out to Karina Tolan, my friend from high school on the gymnastics team. Oh, yeah. We got a connection right there. So Karina's shout out to her. Is she not the sweetest person in the world?
Nah, yeah. Like, exactly. We're one of my best friends.
Exactly. Karina is the absolute best. Oh. Shouts out to her.
I'm going to hang out with her after this. So
no, be sure to let her know. And like Sam said at the beginning of all of this, if you haven't downloaded Good Pods, be sure to check it out. See what some of your friends are listening to as well. Get some recommendations. You can never have too many good podcasts. So definitely check it out. As always, not the same time, same place. We will see you guys later.